So very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 9th of September 2021, Thursday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of Sutras of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. We are at page 404. Okay, we will, as usual, off the light, and you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind, maintain awareness to stabilize your awareness nature within, and at the same time, patiently develop the awareness until you can detect the silent mind. So the four supporters. Remember, relax, maintain awareness, then maintain awareness for as long as you can. The last one is trust your nature to do the meditation. Relax body and mind and maintain some more attention. Then we shall continue from where we stop. We are at page 404 of the book. The Essence of Infinite Meanings, Teaching from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, Wu Liang Yi Jing. One thing to diligently learn from awakened or enlightened sentient beings, we develop bodhicitta. So bodhicitta is very important. Bodhi is enlightenment, citta is mind, the enlightened mind, the enlightened thought to go this way. That having compassion for and wanting to benefit sentient beings, we also develop bodhicitta. And wanting to learn the right Dhamma to forever abide in this world, bodhisattvas also develop bodhicitta. Seeing sentient beings endure all kinds of suffering in the era of decay means Dhamma ending age, we develop bodhicitta. So developing bodhicitta is very important. That enlightenment thought to become Sammasambuddha, to walk the bodhisattva way, is very, very important. That's why the first resolve is to plant the seed of bodhi and develop this bodhicitta or bodhi mind until it is very established. With faith, with understanding and determination. Okay, so having learned what bodhicitta is and why is it so important, we will now go into the commentaries. Before learning the Buddha's way and attaining Buddhahood, we are all suffering sentient beings. Only by first becoming awakened can we begin the journey. Make an effort to save others. This is very true. Thus, one thing to diligently learn from awakened sentient beings or enlightened beings, we develop bodhicitta, the enlightened thought, or the enlightenment mind. We diligently emulate bodhisattvas and develop the aspiration. Somebody might not mute one. Wait, let's recheck. Now, putting his mic is not mute. Okay, done. So the distortion is no more. We can continue. We diligently emulate bodhisattvas and develop aspiration to awaken others and awaken ourselves. Thus, we can become awakened or enlightened beings. Much of the pain and suffering in life begins with an ignorant thought. When ignorance arises, our mind begins to change with external conditions, and we create karma. Then as one thought ceases, another thought arises. Our every thought is ignorant. Often, just as we have finished making one mistake, we start making another. So these are for heedless, unenlightened being. Because this ignorance is always in us. We have no awareness of ourselves. So here, for ignorant beings, they tend to make this type of deluded action or thought process is because they lack awareness or mindfulness. So mindfulness is very important. Ability to be attentive, to be aware without thought is the way forward to develop meditation. So this part, bear in mind, because this ignorance is always in most people, unenlightened beings. And the reason for it is they have no awareness of themselves or of how things really are. We now have the good fortune to encounter the Dhamma. So we must seize the opportunity to diligently learn and practice. Then we can awaken ourselves and go into the world to benefit sentient beings. All Buddhas and Bodhisattvas have already awakened and clearly understood all things in the world. Why then do they return to this Saha world? Because they cannot bear to leave sentient beings to their afflictions and great suffering. Therefore, they repeatedly form the aspiration and make the vow to go among sentient beings and guide them to open up their hearts and mind, leaving their afflictions behind, and advance on the path to enlightenment. So in learning the Buddha's way, we must first become enlightened and reach a clear understanding of all things in the world. We must always care about and seek to understand the current events taking place around the world. But it is only when we realize the impermanence of this world that we can awaken our mind at every moment. The Buddhist sutras state that the world suffers from three major disasters: those of fire, water, and wind, as well as three minor disasters: war, disease, and famine. In the future, the three major disasters will one after another bring destruction everywhere, from the hell realm to the human realm, and even to the heaven realm. The three major disasters are often seen in impoverished countries. If not war, they face disease. If not disease, then drought. Drought is triggered by an imbalance in the climate. The lack of water will prevent farmers from growing crop. But sometimes, even after a successful growing season, disasters still destroy harvest. When the world experiences poor harvest, some grain-producing countries prohibit agricultural export and will store the crop for their own national emergencies, while other areas that are experiencing long-term drought and famine cannot obtain assistance. Then the people in these drought-stricken countries, children and adults alike, look just like hungry dogs with skinny neck and distended stomach. Isn't this the hungry ghost rhyme manifesting in the human rhyme? In fact, the heavens, the hell, and other rhymes of existence described in the sutra can all be seen in this world today. After the tsunami in South Asia, we saw rotting bodies in the disaster area and heard the cries of those who were injured and in pain. A sudden manifestation of impermanence like this can cause the human realm to seem like hell, to say nothing of the many wars or other man-made disaster. Once a war erupts, in a short period of time, many sentient beings will be killed or suddenly injured. The Buddha told us more than 2,500 years ago that the three major disasters and three minor disasters all begin with ignorance. This is the reason we can see the pain and suffering of hell even though we are on the human realm. Seeing this suffering, our compassion arises, and having compassion for and wanting to benefit sentient beings, we develop again bodhicitta, the enlightenment thought. In order to benefit sentient beings, we must help them break through their affliction and step onto the path to awakening. Therefore, wanting right Dhamma to forever abide in this world, bodhisattvas develop bodhicitta. After bodhisattva become awakened, wishing for the right Dhamma to forever abide in the world, they aspire and vow to continue carrying out their mission, hoping that everyone will encounter right Dhamma and keep it in their mind. In this way, it can be passed on forever, generation after generation. The Buddha said that after he entered Parinibbana, there would be an era of right Dhamma, an era of Dhamma semblance, and an era of Dhamma decay. The era of right Dhamma was said to have lasted 500 years after the Buddha's passing away. Afterwards, the Buddha Dhamma began to degenerate, and thus we enter the era of semblance, where the Dhamma only retained its outer form, such as in many countries, where magnificent images of the Buddha in an amazing cave filled with Buddha statues were created. During this era, it was popular for people to worship the Buddha and chant sutra texts, but most people only create images of the Buddha to seek merits or participate in chanting for personal gain. After the era of Dhamma semblance, gradually receded, many temples, stupas, and images of the Buddha were damaged. This brought us to the era of Dhamma decadence, during which even the appearance of the teaching is no longer exists. Oh, that is very bad. Appearance of the teaching also no longer exists. So seeing sentient beings endure all kinds of suffering in the era of decay, we develop bodhicitta. So coming back to this part, I think it's very true. In fact, in the sutra, it was stated after the passing away of Sakyamuni Buddha, his Parinibbana, 2,500 over to 600 years ago, the Dhamma will start to flourish. And that time is the era of right Dhamma. That was the first 500 years. And as it reached the second 500 years, things become not so authentic anymore. That's why they call it the era of Dhamma semblance, where the focus is no longer on the actual cultivation, the teaching, and all those things. Just over the years, people develop this greed for merits. They develop the greed to build beautiful statue, you know, for remembrance. Then to like impress people. Then through all this, they will develop fame and all this thing. Then they can maybe in a certain way receive offerings and all this thing. So the second 500 years was actually the beginning of what we call the loss of focus of the cultivation, leading to the error of, we call it beginning of the Dhamma, Dhamma shift of focus. So during this period, the emphasis become different. People start to do things differently. Then the problem with Dhamma is after 500 years, the message that is being passed down, the training that is being passed down, starts to have more and more problems. The authentic teaching and Dhamma is lost. So that's why they try to preserve them very hard through chanting. Even though chanting can preserve the teaching, but it does not help in the sense that chanting alone without the enlightened monks or cultivator to explain or express the teaching, the chanting that is being retained may be the right teaching, but the interpretation of it, the commentaries that they develop to explain it, already debated. That's why over the years we went through that phase. Then it seems the following phase is the Dhamma decadent, or we call it the Dhamma ending age. It starts to decay, become worse and worse. You know the word decay. When a dead body is dead, it can only decay, and the decadent can be very bad until it's completely gone. There's a reason why after 2500 or to 600 years, although the chanting part is still retained, then quite a lot of the Tipitaka or Sutra, they are still being retained. But then we have more and more commentaries. We have more and more division, interpretation of the teachings. So all this has bring about more and more confusion. And over the years, as we can see, it's so different from the time of the Buddha, where enlightened beings are very common and they are very easy to witness, like we read from a lot of the sutras. Suddenly in one assembly when the Buddha spoken something, a lot of monks become arahant, enlightened. Even lay people realizing sotapanna shape, sakadagami shape, and anagami shape. So all this at that time were possible because the teaching were very authentic and very penetrative, and it has its potency. But over the years, something must have gone wrong. It's just like we look at our civilization. Before science and technology really take off, we were so backward. But when we start to understand the nature's law better, especially physical law, the physical law of nature and the biological order of nature, we start to see great, what we call development, an uprising trend of science and technology. Then we have the civilization benefiting from it. Civilization start to flourish. Our understanding of the universe, our planet, the solar system, everything starts to expand. And we came to understand many, many things because of science and technology. So similarly, if our spiritual understanding has been evolved by the way the scientists have done it, there will be more and more enlightened beings, and we will progress more and more. But we are not seeing all this. In fact, it has become so bad that certain books they dare to even write nowadays is so rare until you can hardly find an enlightened being. Even you can find a sotapanna, a sotapanna or a first stage of sainthood, you are already very blessed and very lucky. So if you have reached such a situation, that is too bad. Whereas during the Buddha's time, sainthood were very common and enlightened beings were very common. Arahants were a lot. So the Dhamma decadence or age of Dhamma decay leading to Dhamma ending age can be very, very bad or very frightening. According to what the Buddha predicted, we're supposed to have 5,000 years of his teachings, dispensation or sasana. But because he agreed to admit the bhikkhuni order, it seems based on his understanding, must have seen previous, when we call Sammasambuddha, that go this way and allow the bhikkhuni order to come in. He realized the sasana will be shortened by 500 years. To Sakyamuni Buddha, 500 years of sasana is very important. That's why initially he was very reluctant to admit or recognize the bhikkhuni order. But later on, because of special condition involving the mother sister that raised him, they form the nunnery committee to request for the nunnery to be admitted. So the bhikkhuni order was established. That's why we were told, because of that, our sasana will last for 4,500 years. So it is, let's say, 4,500. Now it's already 2,006. We have about 1,900 years left. But over these 2,000 over years, you look at the way the Dhamma has decayed or evolved and become what it is. Actually, it's quite pitiful. But hopefully, the consciousness will rise again. It's just like during the time of the six patriarch winning, the rise and fall of Buddhism and the sasana, they do happen. So when Huining arise, the six patriarch, Dhamma actually flourish again. But after the passing away of Huining, and then maybe a few hundred years later, the Dhamma again went downhill. So hopefully now we can have more and more awakened beings or enlightened beings who have the nature to teach, can bring back the teachings. Hopefully this sasana will come back and flourish again. Okay, we will continue from where we finished. We just finished one of the adapted verse. So we will move on to the next adapted verse. Protect your mind, establish great vows, diligently engage in spiritual practice, and uphold the path. Abide in the non-abiding, practice emptiness, tranquility and stillness. Then in the presence of the Tathagata, we will forever eliminate doubts and delusion, enter the Buddha's ocean of wisdom, and we trampling faith in the path, benefits the world, and be an unsurmounted friend. Okay, we look at the notes, note 51. See the Maharatna Kutta Sutra, volume 1. And go to the note. Still got, oh, don't have any, okay. Oh yeah, still got. Oh, okay, okay. Oh, never mind. I read the 52. Is that sutta? Oh, no. Okay, never mind. It's in another book, Maharatna Kuta Sutra. Maybe we will read it up. So this new adapted verse is also very beautiful. Eh? I will read this part again. The beginning. Protect your mind. Establish great vow. So what is the meaning of protecting your mind? Which mind must you protect? Yeah? The true mind no need perfect protection. Understand? You need to protect your mundane mind. Yeah. So your mundane mind is the one that you need to protect. Then establish great vow. Then diligently engage in spiritual practice. And uphold the path. Then abide in the non-abiding. Cultivate. The better word is cultivate, not practice. So this cultivation is to cultivate emptiness, not practice emptiness. Emptiness cannot be practiced. Emptiness is to be realized. So you cultivate emptiness, tranquility, and stillness. So what is this? This is your true mind. When you cultivate tranquility and stillness, that is your true mind, your silent mind. Then you will develop the wisdom. Then you will understand what emptiness is. That's why you have to abide in the non-abiding, which is the true mind, the silent mind, where you cannot really have a self to abide. That's why the mind must have no dwelling. You cannot dwell anyway, but you can silence your mundane mind and realize that nature. Stay with the awareness. The awareness nature is your true nature, your true mind, your silent mind. So realize that. So cultivate emptiness. Tranquility and stillness means go to your nature to develop it. If you do that, then you will connect. Then in the presence of the Buddha nature, the Tathagata nature, we will forever eliminate doubt and delusion. Enter the Buddha's ocean of wisdom. Yeah, that is all Buddha's nature. Buddha nature. And with the triumphant faith, triumphant means you already successful, overcome. In the path, benefit the world and be an unsummoned friend. I will read the commentaries now. As we learn the Buddha's way, we cannot expect to attain Buddhahood immediately. Upon forming the aspiration to do so, this one is very obvious, because the path to Buddhahood is very long, take a long period of cultivation, eons and eons, not centuries, eons. We must protect this resolve and earnestly sustain our spiritual practice at all times. That's the word. We must persevere in carrying out our vow. So the resolve is your determination, your earnestness, your sincerity, your faith. Then with that, you must persevere to continuously cultivate, carry out our vows, and follow the methods of the Buddha. The Buddha has established learning and practicing the Buddha's world-pervading compassion, diligence, and infinite wisdom. The people and matter in the world are all considered worldly phenomena. So this one, I hope by now all Kayamita have the understanding. Whatever you experience or encounter within the conditioned world, like people and matter, they are all considered worldly phenomena. phenomenal of consciousness and form. And we must engage with worldly phenomena with a world transcending spirit. By doing this, our mind can reach the state that it will abide in the non-abiding. So the world transcending spirit is very important. It's you realize the true mind, the silent mind. Then when you can be in that state, means you have reached the state where you will abide in the non-abiding. Then you can cultivate emptiness, tranquility, and stillness. Then in the presence of the Tathagata, the Buddha nature, we will forever eliminate doubt and delusion. This one is obvious, a natural consequence of the cultivation. In the Buddha's time, there were many young men within the Sangha who had aspired to engage in spiritual practice. Teaching these young men was the responsibility of the Buddha's senior disciple. One day, a young practitioner who had recently become a monastic went to prostrate respectfully before the Venerable Mahakassapa. The elders, Venerable Mahakassapa asked, "Why do you look sad and discontented?" The young practitioner said, "Venerable, my mind is afflicted, unhappy, and unable to be still." So this is a very good situation. We see how they develop. Then Mahakassapa asked, "Why?" Then the young practitioner, newly ordained youth, replied, "Although I have become a monastic, I cannot stop thinking of my family. I'm unable to free myself from those relationships." This is very common, because when you ordain and become a monk, become a monastic, you're supposed to renounce everything, even your wealth, your family, your whatever identity, and take a new monastic name. So that one is not easy, but they are still whirling before they become enlightened. Then Mahakassapa said, "If you aspire to engage in spiritual practice, you must bring back your mind." Means bring your mind back. Isn't that very true? If you want to become a monk, if you want to be a serious cultivator of the way of practitioner, but you still have attachment to your own family, to worldly matter, then how can you break free? It's obvious, isn't it? Then the young practitioner said, "Where should I go to retrieve my mind?" This is a very good question. Mahakassapa said, "Since you have followed the Buddha into the monastic life and have made great vows, you must learn to let go of your relationship with your family and your loved ones and eliminate all affliction. Treat the whole world as your home and all sentient beings as your family. Let your mind become tranquil and clear, abide in the non-abiding, and cultivate emptiness, tranquility, and stillness." So this is a very good way to actually turn the situation around so that this young monastic can understand. We are always in the presence of the Tathagata, and we have become a part of the Buddha's big family. So we must forever eliminate doubt and delusion. Faith is the source of the way. That's why you must have faith. And the mother of all merits. So we must have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Eliminate all doubts and affliction. Protect our mind. Uphold our initial aspiration. And diligently advance in our spiritual practice. So this is very true. Eliminate all doubts and affliction means you must have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. Then protect your mind, means your mundane mind. Don't go and think of all those wrong thought that result in attachment leading to affliction. Then you must uphold your initial aspiration and diligently advance in your spiritual cultivation. Okay, we move on. These principles are the same whether in ancient time or in the present day. The teachings given by Mahakasapa in the past are still worthy of being accepted and practiced by modern practitioners. Most importantly, regardless of how many years it has been since we aspire to engage in spiritual cultivation, we must still constantly ask ourselves, where is our mind? We must learn to allow our mind to peacefully abide in the present, means present moment awareness. The things that surround us, everything that we hear and see, all contain the Dhamma. If you can have the mindfulness or the awareness to be aware. If in every moment you can keep your mind on what you are doing through mindfulness, then we can enter the Buddha's ocean of wisdom and clearly understand everything. That's why you must be heedful. You must be mindful, ever mindful, constantly meditating. Then our triumphant faith in the path will allow us to summon the courageous resolve to overcome our laziness. As the sutra on the Buddha's bequest teaching states, if our power of mindfulness is firm, see, the word is mindfulness, do not neglect this training. I read again. If our power of mindfulness is firm and strong, though we go among the thieves of the five senses or desires, we will not be affected or harmed. Like entering a battlefield wearing armor, we will not be afraid. As long as we have faith in proper belief, our heart will not be tempted by our surrounding. This is like courageously entering into battlefield covered by armor. We will always feel at ease like a triumphant warrior. The Buddhist sutra often call the Buddha victorious warrior, especially when they chant the Jaya Mangala Sutta, which means he is a courageous and diligent noble being who cannot be harmed by external forces. Thus, when we learn the Buddha's way, we must have faith, firm faith, and walk the Bodhisattva path by going among people. Then we can benefit the world and be an unsurmounted friend. This means that we serve as a support and guide for those caught up in the fear and ignorance of the world. As we cultivate the Bodhisattva spirit of compassion, even before those who are suffering ask for help, we will proactively offer our assistance and guide them towards the right path. This is what great beings, cultivator of the way, bodhisattvas, they will do. Okay, we will stop here. I will mark this page, then we can have our 3 minutes of toilet break. Then after that, come back. We will do some very special sharing today here, because I have sent out some, I think some of the earlier ones, query and reply from people who are not within our Kayamita after they have listened to our short video. And I noticed something that is quite interesting, that's why I want to share this. Because one of them, he wrote to me and he became like very different, very interested in this style of new teaching and understanding. I have sent out one video. What does my enter city means? This one was a video dated 27 April 2021. It has been read by quite a number of people. I think based on the view is 201. The title was extracted from this sharing, the lesson 40 of the Path to Truth for modern day Bodhisattva practitioner dated 31st January 2021. Then when you click on the link, you go to the seven comments. There are seven comments that people actually commented. The first one is by this Tam Kok Hee, which was 6 days ago. So this Tam Kok Hee, 6 days ago, he wrote and replied to the website. So Brother Chin Hao prompted me, so I have a look and I replied to him. He said, Sadhu for the beautiful teaching on Sati. See, the teaching on Sati. First time somebody comment. He said, Ajahn Sumedho seems to teach this type of awareness too, also. But he doesn't teach it in a very detailed way like you did, and how to realize this Sati. So she just replied and said, Sadhu. Then after that, I replied to him. I said, Sadhu, Kok Hee, Sadhu to you for your ability to understand and appreciate such Dhamma sharing. Then I sent him the other link that another outsider, not within our Kayamita group, who has written to me and asked me some questions too. And this one I have shared with you all before, but anyway, I will read it. He said, I forward to him, I said, below question from another video may also help you understand better. So the question in that video is from somebody else. I think somebody in India. The question is, sir, quick question, he said. From my own practice, this is what I can tell. Awareness include only the following possibilities, he said. Either the mind sink into an object, that is to say, if one is aware of a particular mental or physical object for more than a second, that is to say, it is focusing, or the better word is perceiving, or the mind get lost in thought, like moha, or unaware, or lost in its perception. That is to say, it does not know what it is doing. The third possibility is seemingly natural from the point of view of an ignorant puttajana, that it either the mind either goes outside, darting towards sight, sound, smell quickly, or inside to create mental thinking or physical sensation. Then he said, my question is simple, sir. If one knows something, it is still a thought, isn't it? See? Nowadays, people are more intelligent now. They know it's a thought. They are not really like a normal puttajana who really doesn't know what thought is and still be like deludedly holding on to the thought to analyze things, to develop the Dhamma knowledge and the delusion. So what happened is this person understands, he said, it's still a thought. If I know, right, know something happened, it is still a thought. It may not be verbal. But knowing is perception. That one I add in, the word. That's why it's a thought. Where is the aggregate of mind? If I call a table is already delusion. This one is from the Surangama Sutra, Zen analogy. Perception of form is consciousness, whereas its non-perception is wisdom. Then he said, cognition itself is thought, which is true. Well, when you cognize something means you perceive something through memory. It is already deluded. Cognition itself is thought. One cannot cognize form without description. It is subtle. Calling the color red Red is a dog. How do you know it is red? From memory. So even if the thought can stop, how can memory stop? That is the question. So it's a beautiful question. So I answered him. I said, memory is still part of Sankara, an aggregate of mind. And since thought is respond to memory, so memory is still a part of thought, forming its content. Whereas sati, how can become sun? This one should be sati. Whereas sati is awareness before the knowing. So it is not a thought, because there is no perception to name or label it as yet. You need to understand what is specific phenomenal awareness. Awareness and phenomena as one. And spacious awareness without a center to understand what pure awareness is. Without thought activity or sankhara, who are you and what are you? Just silence everything to realize your true mind. Then you will understand better. Hope this helps. So there is a link there actually. Huh? If you on the link, I think you can find. Then after that, I think he replied. He said, thank you, Brother Teo, for the prompt reply. I'm listening to your Dhamma talk and putting them into practice. Your instructions are very clear. The only thing is, can I follow strictly or not? Your teaching provide me with a very clear picture about my cultivation. Then after that, he wrote to me again. He quoted this Sayadaw Jyotika, what the Sayadaw said. This one is one day ago, is a reply. He said, this is from Sayadaw Jyotika. So this is the part I want to share with you all. It seems nowadays, even more and more Dhamma practitioner or your monks, they start to understand that thought-based meditation doesn't lead to ultimate reality or awakening. But they cannot explain it so clearly. So what I had here from this person is quite a good reflection on what is going on. So I read to you what he sent to me. It seems it's written by this Sayadaw Jyotika. This Sayadaw is not bad. The Sayadaw said, this thinking process happens in our left side of our brain, or left brain. If you want to get a clear idea, an interesting idea, we think and we use the left brain. Or our left side of our brain, or the left brain. But meditation is intuitive, is it? So when we meditate, we use the right side of our brain. If you understand how these two sides of the brain work, you will understand what you are doing when you are meditating. So this is according to him. Then he cautioned, cultivator, he said, be very clear about this. When we are really meditating, we are not trying to understand anything intellectually. He knows. You cannot even think about it. He said, no intellectual process. Thinking is an intellectual process. We have to go beyond that, means beyond thought. If we still try to use or take the help of this intellectual thinking, we will be stuck. Stuck in what? Stuck in this ordinary reality. Because thinking is ordinary. See? Now they also start to teach this way, differently already. They know thought-based approach is dead. Because the moment there is thought, there is no awareness. There is no sati. You can do only one thing at a time. Either you are aware in sati or awareness, or you are lost in thought. Preoccupied with what you are thinking. That's it. So he used the word thinking is ordinary reality, which is true, because you cannot go beyond thought. It is still within the field of thought. That's why analysis, reasoning, via the mundane mind, the thought process, is intellectual process. So this intellectual process, which is thinking, cannot awaken you. Then he continued, he said, if we really want to experience, and he used the word extraordinary reality, he didn't even use the word ultimate reality, we have to let go of thinking, see? That is where the mistake is. You cannot let go of thinking. Thought is respond to memory. Thought will arise. But when you understand the limitation of thought, the movement of thought, and what caused that movement, then thought can naturally cease. With wisdom, with understanding, thought will not arise. But if you try to let go of thought, you will get into trouble. Who let go? The one who holds try to let go. If you hold means there is delusion, then how can you let go? If you know thought is a problem, then don't use it to meditate. That's it, finish. Why must you allow thought to arise and try to let go? It's like practicing let go. Practice how to let go. Logical, but not wisdom. It's like a lot of Buddhist practitioners, they say, aiya, let go la, don't attach la. Like Yuchan always say, when it's your own problem, try it. He said, other people are easy to advise. Oh, let go. Without wisdom, you can't. That's why the person who hold cannot let go, because there is delusion there. When you see the truth of it, the danger of it, you will not even touch it. Then what is there to let go? You will not even allow it to condition you into heedless thinking, in the negativity of emotion or thought process. All this need wisdom and understanding. That's why without wisdom, please, you will find it on your own. Don't try to practice letting go, because the letting go is a fallacy. It's not a wisdom. So I read on so that you understand. He said, before meditate, people tend to read book. Try to find out what is samadhi, what samadhi means, what nama means, what rupa means, what anicchang, dukkang, and anatta means. But when you really meditate, again he used the word, let go of all that. So this usage is not so bad. Don't try to hold on to all that. Means don't try to hold on to all that, not let go. Just be directly in touch with whatever is, means with the reality, but he doesn't know how to use the word. He said, be very, very simple, which is good. Where truth is always very simple, very direct, not complicated. It's only the deluded mind that thinks it's complicated. You have to be as simple as possible, which is true. Just be in touch with the sensation. Don't try to think. That's why at least this one is more, I should say, authentic. He said, just be in touch with the sensation. I always share with you all. The pure feeling is very, very close to our pure awareness. Because awareness is the awareness before the feeling arises. But pure feeling without thought is actually very near our nature, the pure awareness. So that's why here he used this word, which is very good. Just be in touch with the sensation. Don't try to think whether it is arising or passing away, whether it is anicchang, dukkang, or anatta, whether it is nama or rupa. Without thinking, you can stay like that for a long time. So that one makes some sense. Then it will appear spontaneously, intuitively, what it is. And what is, should be what is. or what it is something you cannot talk about. So this one, he used the word intuitive, but actually what he doesn't understand is he used the word without thinking, you can stay like that for a long time. And this is correct. But how to stay for a long time without thought? That is where he haven't discovered. He haven't realized. That's why he cannot do it. But he used this explanation. He said, without thinking, you can stay like that for a long time. Long time is how long? Don't know. He also don't know. He said it will appear spontaneously. Means suddenly you will become enlightened. You go and try. You need understanding for the thought to cease. Like I say, without thinking means what? Relax and maintain awareness. Whatever arise, let it arise. You don't feed it with any more deluded thought or thought energy, then our true mind will return. Then you will realize the silent mind, which is your true mind, your silent nature within. This part he doesn't know. That's why he couldn't penetrate, but it's already very good for him to come out with this understanding. So he said, this one, when you really experience it, it is something you cannot talk about, which is true. Where it's beyond thought, beyond mind, is a realization that nature is very different. It is capable of observation and development of understanding inside everything. So he doesn't know the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. Then he said, the moment you try to think about it, it is not there anymore. He also knows. That's why when you are meditating, you cannot say, oh, something is arising and passing away. That is anicca. At that moment, you are not meditating anymore, which is true. Where you create thought. When you create thought, you are not aware of the moment. You cannot observe. You cannot be with the moment to realize what is going on. So you are using your thinking process. You are in an ordinary reality again. So for this Sayadaw to know this, it's already very good, not bad. As I said, nowadays there are more and more people starting to develop the understanding of danger of thought-based meditation. When you meditate, you cannot use thought. Because you try to realize something that is beyond thought. How can you use the instrument of thought? When thought is active, there is no meditation. There is no mindfulness. There is no awareness. There is heedless thinking. So here, he tried to use some justification to explain this. He said, it will happen. Naturally, where all this thinking will happen naturally, many, many times in your meditation, is it? Or meditation practice, where we are so used to thinking and analyzing. He is not wrong. He got it spot on. Because that is the only mind most people know. That's why they think a lot. They reason, they analyze. So, his explanation is very good. He continued. He said, we think that only when we think about something that we can understand it. Yeah. So I read again. We think that only when we think about something that we can understand it. We try to go back to thinking, analysis, or analyze. And understand. It will happen many, many times. And when it happens, just look and just say, this is still thinking. Even thinking, this is nama, this is still a thought. And when you think this is rupa, this is also a thought. If you think this is arising and passing away, this is anicca, this is actually another thought. watching those flashes of thought coming into your mind. Sorry, watch those flashes of thought coming into your mind. The more you can see, the more you can let go. This is what he thinks. But please, it's not this way. Without wisdom, this thing cannot happen. You need wisdom, you need understanding. So pardon me for saying that. You find out on your own. We are not here to argue about right and wrong. Find out for yourself. So here, just make a note. This is what he say. The more you can see, the more you can let go. This one is his personal view. Then he said, it won't be immediate. It is very difficult. But gradually, those flashes of naming will go slowly. Sorry, go away slowly and slowly. And then with no words arising in your mind, you can be directly in touch with what is. Actually, what is the reality. And you understand it without conceptualizing. So this part is not bad. So he believed, finally it's like that. But you can try. You can find out for yourself. But at least what he has understood is very, very good. Can bring him very near to the cultivation. The only thing that he need to understand is he must understand what is awareness. Awareness is before the knowing. Sati is awareness before the perception, before the thinking, before the thought process, before the... If he knows that, then he will know how to meditate. He will don't have to go through all this. So this part, maybe is for Kanyamita to also understand. If you can do that, the rest is quite easy according to him. The difficulty is that we always try to think. He also know he cannot get rid of thinking about it. And we get distracted. If we can be really in touch with one sensation, one awareness, the rest will come quite easily. Not to say only one sensation or one awareness. You must have the silent mind to realize all this, to understand all this, to insight into phenomena, to awaken, to observe, to understand who are you, what are you. So all these are very important understanding. And then after that, I replied. He said, Sayadaw Jyotika doesn't come to teach in Malaysia anymore, he said. It seems he was in Malaysia before. But Brother Teo's guidance is always available, so he said, Sadhu. Then I replied to him. I said, what Sayadaw Jyotika said about no intellectual process. Thinking is an intellectual process. We have to go beyond that. If we still try to use or take the help of this intellectual thinking, we will be stuck in this ordinary reality. We are thinking is ordinary. This is very good. Which means he understands that thought-based meditation, which is still within the field of thought, is limited. Because it pertains to ordinary reality as explained by the Buddha under his salutation to the Dhamma. That is, the Dhamma, the Buddha taught, is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now. And akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time, timeless Dhamma. Here, beyond thought means the timeless Dhamma. It also means the thought process. Beyond the thought process, which is psychological time. If you use the instrument of thought to meditate, then how can you realize the Dhamma, which is beyond thought, the timeless Dhamma? You can't. And this is the reason why you must silence your mind to just be aware or mindful without thought, to meditate and to awaken. Your silent mind without thought is your meditative mind, your true mind in pure awareness. Hope this helps. Then he said, Sadhu, Brother Teo, your teaching does help me a lot. So all these are very beautiful. I think that's all. So we finish the sharing. So hopefully, yeah, with this explanation, you go back and listen to it again. It will help you progress and understand very deeply. Yeah. So it is really joyful, yeah, to come to know that at least there are some, even though very rare, practitioner or Dhamma starting to have this understanding that thought-based meditation cannot lead to enlightenment or awakening. It's just like in the early days when I started to come out in the year 2004 to share. That time I was trying to explain what sati is, what mindfulness is, what awareness is. But at that time, it was so popular with jhanas. Jhanas and jnanas. So at that time, people don't see the importance of mindfulness at all, awareness. Then not until later, after I came out to share for more than, I think, almost 10 years. I think after 2013 or 2014 onwards. Then only I start to see the trend is toward mindfulness, daily mindfulness, and the emphasis is more and more towards mindfulness. So that was the shift. I remember during that time, Sri Ande or before they all, they keep on telling me, Pratyo, Pratyo, now it seems more and more people now stressing on the practice of mindfulness, sati, awareness, and honesty. Then now, when I started to share about the limitation of thought, why thought-based meditation cannot lead to awakening, not until recently, I couldn't find anybody who can really understand what I share. Of course, apart from some Kayamitas. So this type of sharing and understanding is not easy. But when this come, I forgot his name, Tam Kok Hee. When he sent me this Sayadaw Jyotika message, it gave me joy. At least now a Sayadaw has this very good initial understanding about thought as ordinary reality. So this is a vast improvement in understanding. So hopefully the Buddhist collective consciousness, the cultivator, they will evolve into more and more accurate understanding. So hopefully with our sharing of our short video and all the whatever Dhamma recording, it can bring about more and more proper, clearer understanding, like what this Tam Kok Hee has mentioned. He was very surprised that when I share the teaching of sati, it is so clear and so easy to understand. And it even explained to you how this can be realized and achieved, how the cultivation can be done. It's nothing exoteric or very complicated. It is just simple understanding, although it's very new, revolutionary, because all the traditional teaching, they never teach this way. They like methods and techniques. They like to use the sutta, the thought process, and a lot of all this very conditioned type of cultivation. So hopefully with this sharing, more and more Kayanimitta can benefit and develop the clear understanding. Then today, I also sent out to our My Kayanimitta, the Google group. This, you have your email in that group, you will receive. I just completed the two short video transcripts done by Sister Sandra and Sister Amy. They are on cultivation of daily mindfulness, leading to the understanding of the true mind, the silent mind, and how to develop it further. Both are very good piece of sharing. So hopefully you all can go through it, read through it, understand it, and it will help you all. Yeah. And maybe next session, if we have the condition, we will go through that. That short video is very beautiful, the transcript of it. I think one is about how through daily mindfulness, the awareness-based meditation, you can develop it until the mind enters the deep. And this is another very new concept and understanding, how the mind can enter the deep. Because if you have not done this cultivation before awareness-based, you cannot understand all this. And you cannot develop it. That's why all this need to come out, so that more and more people understand. Then the other one is, I think, about total relaxation. That one also very good. To realize this awareness-based meditation. That's why you need to relax, maintain awareness for as long as you can, then trust that nature to do. So all these are been explained and described. So please go through them. Develop the understanding. It will help you a lot. Okay, at least now I have finished my part. So if you have anything to comment or add on, you can come in now. Or you want to report your meditation or ask any question, also can. Let's use today's session as a dialogue session so that we can learn.
Bertil, 关于刚才的那个 那个 sharing 哈 ，Bertil 你一直在 mention 讲一定要有那个 understanding 跟那个 wisdom 才能够 deal with 这个 thought。 我忽然间 我最近的那个 understand 是我 这个他是不是他也应该要 apply 这个那个 five way 的那个 to overcome the unwholesome thought 的那个
third。 That one is the meditative understanding, but the initial understanding is very important. The initial understanding that this side doesn't have is, without thought, you are already mindful and aware. That one he doesn't understand. And how to be without thought? You don't go and think. You don't go and use your thought to meditate. Who is the meditator? Like we've gone through, the thought is the meditator. So how can you meditate when thought is active? When thought is active, you are no longer in sati. That's why you have to silence. So what I taught you all, the four support is very important. Relax means don't think. Let things be. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. If the doing is always by the thought. Then maintain what? Awareness. Just aware. Finish. Aware. If you don't do that, the mind will not silent. It will not return to its original state of tranquility, stillness, the silent mind. But they don't know all this. They don't know that we have two minds. You see the understanding now. So that first part also he don't have. So how can he overcome unwholesome thought? If you cannot realize the awareness, you cannot do the third way. Do you understand? The third way needs a stable awareness, sati, so that you can be with the emotion without thought. You can't even be naturally aware without thought. Then how can you do the third way? You can't. And without a stable daily mindfulness, you cannot see the origination factor. You cannot trace the origination factor. Then you cannot develop the wisdom to retrospectively reverse it. That's why you need the initial understanding to train your mind not to think. It's not let go of thinking. Cannot. That mundane mind is so conditioned, like you say, habitual tendency to stir, to react, to think, and to create all this movement, analysis, through analysis and reasoning. This is where people cannot understand, and they don't get it. And they got it very confused. That's why, who can explain that? Even this Sayadaw is already very cool, but he also cannot penetrate all this. It takes a while. It needs somebody who has the understanding to show the way, to show the light. If this today's sharing, if they can read it or listen to it, I tell you, a lot of them will progress. They will know how to do this awareness-based meditation to develop the silent mind. To realize the true mind. Mm. Do you follow, Russell?
Yeah.
现在了解了吗? 应该更清楚了。
Yeah.
因为你还 not stable in your understanding. You know these are the tools that you can use, but you are not stable. That's why you cannot have the clear understanding to explain all this. But you already very good.
But Bertie, 我最近还一直在听回那个、那天的那个 talk、那个啊、你的 explanation of 那个 the five way to overcome the unwholesome thought 的那个啊、sharing、然后过后我再 follow up with 我那个 Sunday 的那个啊、discussion 啊、the sharing with 你、we talk about 的那个啊、那个六祖的。所以我那天我一直在 repeating continuous 听这两个 talk， 一直在听，来突然间我才明白，哦，要 silent 要去啊 realize 那个 silent mind， 这个第三跟第四的这个那个 cultivation 哦 ，to overcome the unwholesome talk 是很重要的。
Yeah, that is the wisdom part, and that one cannot arise if your mindfulness is not stable.We are talking about daily mindfulness now, not formal meditation now. Formal meditation, you cannot see all this because the mental hindrance or the subtle defilement, they will not arise when you are in the samadhi meditative state. But in the daily life, when you are out in the normal, your senses are all active,That is the time they surface. So when they surface, if you are not stable in your mindfulness, you cannot see, you cannot trace the origination factor, then you cannot straighten your view. You cannot retrospectively reverse it. What most people do is when they heard my sharing, the Dhamma, then they go and think, analyze and reason and come out with that solution. That one is not the real one.The real one is you must see it to awaken to it. Then only you understand. Otherwise, it's just an analysis part of what they call intellectual understanding. But you didn't see it. But when you see the subtle mental intention and all the stirring behind is wrong view, wrong thought, habitual tendency and all those things,Then you start to become different. Then you start to inquire and reflect, why do I think this way? How do I develop this habitual tendency until it's so strong? So what they call like very difficult to untie or reverse is because this has been going on for so long.But when you have the mindfulness and the awareness to see, it's like you suddenly realize the wrong thought is so dangerous. It's like a poison cobra. That's why you start to understand what the Buddha meant by avoid all evil, develop wholesomeness. Then the silent mind will start to develop the awakening not to allow the view, the opinion and the conditioning to come in and interfere, then you will know what to do, because the wrong perception comes from the delusion early on, the habitual tendency. So now you have to reverse it. Through what? Through what I have shared with you. Commit it like a vow. I determine to have this right view. I am willing to accept the reality of the moment. Whomsoever I see, whatever situation that arises, I will accept that reality. There are causes and conditions, like things will be like that. Until this understanding becomes very stable, until you can straighten this view to like establish it so firmly until it's part of you, that every moment of consciousness, every moment of living life, you no longer stir, you no longer go back to the old way, then you realize all this cannot happen really because of the understanding. Then you start to understand the phenomenal world of consciousness, not what you think. Each year you wave out, all this, the meaning show up, shine forth very clear. That's why you need to contemplate until very, very clear, until your view become very, very straight. It's not just allow the thought to say, I think I know already. Accept them for what they are. Deluded people do deluded thing, ma. That one is just the initial, the contemplative. But the actual test is, when you confront situation spontaneously, do you still react? Do you still stir? Is your habitual tendency still there? That is the real understanding, the test. So don't be too concerned with all this defilement thing. Stabilize your mindfulness. Stabilize your awareness nature. Then the rest will follow. So the fine way is to assist those who have stabilized their mindfulness and awareness, so that when the anger and the emotion or the fear arise, you can silence immediately and be with it. That's why you have to train your mundane mind until the awareness nature becomes very stable. Very stable means what? At any one time, you can be in that state of samadhi, that state of silence with your true mind, true nature. Then only you can deal with the emotion. Then whenever it stir or move, you can see, because this is condition arising, causal phenomena. Then when you stay with it, does not give it any more thinking energy or thought energy, then you realize it ceases. It starts to slow down, then dissipate. See this, witness this, then you understand. That is not an intellectual thinking anymore. It's not somebody tell you. It's you saw it happening. That's why in the year 1989, when I went through all this, I saw it. I saw that anger, that emotion, that reaction. So when it happened, I was with it, the way, silent in the meditative state. Then I realized within seconds, it dissipated and ceased. Then I realized the heart there completely without anything. The silence, the awareness, the tranquility, the true mind returned. Then I realized anger was not me. Emotion was not me. Fear was not me. All these are dependent originating mind state. And the understanding become very, very clear. That's why you must realize it. Every time people make you unhappy, fearful, bosong, that is the time to do it. Like you said in the office, when people do that, let it arise. Then silent, relax, meditate, and see what happens. So all this are the understanding. That's why I say, for those who understand can do it, then the five way, especially the third and fourth way, become meaningful. If your daily mindfulness, awareness, nature is still not stable, you can never do the third and the fourth way. Maybe intellectually, yes. Theoretically, yes. So this understanding is very useful. Eh? So,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Very good. 一定很 clear.
So, we 还要 add in anything or not? 今天的 sharing, 今天的 topic.
暂时没有啦，就是刚才啊 ，Brother， 你刚才你的 explanation 啊，给我更了解怎样的去。 在 daily 里面去 cultivate.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Also, you must listen to my sharing about the thought one. Today one is very good because a lot of people are trapped in all this. So when I talk about analysis and reasoning, is what the practitioner and cultivator never see that their thought is active doing. All this meditation, busy noting, busy looking for anicchang, dukkang, anatta, looking for jhana, jnana, everything. Then the method and technique like very important to them. Then when they don't note, it's like they are not meditating. Not knowing that all this are thought-based meditation cannot lead to awakening. That's why I say wasting time. Like Hui Neng said, even Bodhidharma also said to the monk that met him. He said, meditation is to understand the true mind. We must start from mind. The basic understanding of mind is very important. So if you cannot meditate from your true mind, means you cannot understand meditation, then you are wasting your time. Then, like Bodhidharma told the monk, if you don't understand basic Dhamma, means what? The essential Dhamma that the Buddha teach. He said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. That one is the mundane mind. So, initially he taught them karma. Sing wei gen pen. If you don't know that the mundane mind is capable of good and evil, wholesome and unwholesome, that cause your coming downfall, then how can you start cultivation? You must understand this basic Dhamma. Then only you talk about cultivation. How to follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil? Then you realize it's keeping precept. How to keep precept? You need to be mindful the way. You need to understand what constitutes evil. They say all these are in the mind map, but they are very important pointers. The cultivator must look at. That's why you start with mind, sing wei gen ben. Basic, essential right view, law of karma. From there you start. Then after that, law of mind, patichasamuppanna. Then law of truth. So all this will fall into place. And they are spin-off from the Four Noble Truths, and it's three turning. They are all interrelated. That's why the whole cultivation field is very wide. And the spiritual faculty, they all come in. The mental hindrance, they all come in. The seven factors of enlightenment, the four foundations of mindfulness, the Noble Eightfold Path, four right effort. All these, they fall into place. And they are all related, connected. The whole teaching is like link. If you cannot link, you cannot have the understanding. But most important, mindfulness, the stability of it, the awareness. So all this, they will stabilize, but it takes a while. It takes a while. Not easy. That's why you all, in a way, you're very blessed. All this sharing and teaching already there. But you all will come to understand all this. I won't think it's going to be too long. Because once the retreat is back, I tell you, a lot of things will happen. Then in the retreat, environment is different. We can discuss a lot of things, ask questions and all those things in the retreat environment. And many of you are ready to actually move. Because now with this ability to meditate and understand the collective consciousness, the nature and the what they call the great being's nature all there, and the special condition at the Sanbaosi or Tripajan temple, they are going to create a conducive environment for a lot of things to happen. And during that time, the faith, the joy, the determination, the vow, all will take off. And it becomes very, very unique and beautiful. Yeah. So this is what will happen. That's why you all should rejoice with the beautiful condition that have arisen. And all this sharing is to prepare the future understanding of cultivator. Mm. We are with all this now properly transcribed and short video created. Now more and more people are listening to this. And who are the one? The one that is serious, like this Kokhi. I don't know him. I don't know where he is from. But he is not among our Kayamita. He's just propping. Then there's another one from India. One. Then there's another one, Zen Billion, also same, also came in. Yeah. So you start to see all this. And people who have affinity, who know how to look for all this teaching, they will surface. And sooner or later, they will benefit from all this sharing. Mm. Especially that talk, I remember. The difference between awareness and consciousness, or mindfulness and consciousness. That video, I was so surprised. That's the only video that we all have that has more than 2,000 over viewers. Most of them are 100, 100 plus, some 200 plus, some 300 plus, some maybe hit about 800, 1,000. But that one shoot to 2,000 plus. Because that one, people cannot understand. I explained about the Mahayana type of the 8 type of consciousness, including the 9 consciousness and all these things. And I explained it in such clear and simple term that people can understand. And there are a few people who make very good comment, give very good comment. They were surprised, they were really shocked. Oh, that such teaching is available. So clear. You go and listen to that recording. The difference between, I remember, is awareness and consciousness. Okay. Tom, you want to continue? How you support?
应该是没有, but 我就真的是, 讲讲啊, 很不容易啊。 真的很不容易，但现在开始才很像发现到，才慢慢开始的去明白，来才开始的去 clarify like 每一个 part 它的那个每一个的 part 的啦，那 cultivation 的 part，最重要，Brad你的 sharing 真的是帮了我们很多，sharing是知道啊，就开始能够 get 整个的 picture。 也知道怎样的 step by step 去 cultivate
其实有 because this teaching is very hard to come by, not to say have the understanding to cultivate, to receive it already so rare, and after receiving it take a while to understand it, to do it. That's why it has evolved very well actually, and my nature rejoicing with a lot of Kayamita's understanding of how to develop this daily mindfulness and silent mind awareness. A lot of them can just lie down, relax, aware and silent, and go into the tranquility state very fast. Now, surprisingly, at first I thought, wow, I don't know how long before I can find one or two. Now it's different. And those who can do it, they really progress. They really progress. You look at PG, so fast. The mind can be like that, transformed, and in the state of prison, he described it. Then the energy, the movement so strong, and he starts to understand all the things that I share. And the faith, the resolve. Oh, that's why something from the past can trigger and connect you, and you are really home. Even your case, at one, Machao, then also Po Cheng, and even Ingbi, they all, many other Kayamitas, even Alicia, they all, from depression came out and they just follow instruction and do. That's why all these are possible if you really go into it and have faith. Faith is very important. Even Jinghao also starting to understand a lot more, progressing. Then even my daughter over the years, the last few years, she understand a lot more. It's so different. Because all this take time. You may think that, attend Tuesday class, Thursday class, Sunday class, like going for gathering and all those things. But indirectly, do you know, like I always say, every session, the Dhamma, the merits, the wholesomeness, the cultivation and the beauty of all this sharing, I tell you, people can never imagine the extent of merits and wholesomeness that can flower from there. Then our every session, we share merit, we transfer merit, we do the puja, we develop all the 10 meritorious action. Then all our sharing, not only the human listen, the non-human, they listen. Oh. And the consciousness is starting to move and evolve. That's why this line, my nature's mission is different. That's why I was, I wouldn't say it's chosen. I was requested by Maitreya to come out and share the real understanding, the true understanding. And that's what my nature can do. That's what I'm willing to do. That's why I said, this line, my nature come, is not to do all the other things. All the other things, other people can do. But my nature is to pass down this understanding to serious practitioner. And I don't need many. I need quality practitioner. Even one or two is already very good. But now I start to see many. Then with this website, a lot of future cultivator will benefit. When they listen to all this, it will be just like Krishnamurti already no more, but his talk is still all over. And those who can understand will rejoice and will listen to it. So all this is because of technology has made all this possible. Also, you need to have the cultivator with their understanding and their nature to evolve all this so that it can happen. So should rejoice. Each and every Kayamita should rejoice.
Sadhu. 真的是你的每一个的那个 sharing 好像很 profound 像现在一样,
now it's very profound and very direct and very different. But the time has evolved. People can understand now. I don't have to be like last time, go back to basic and every time repeat and repeat. And do you realize now every session is different?
对对。
Every session is like very penetrating one. Then even the question from outsiders who are not non-Kayamita, they come out and shine forth so beautifully. I don't know them. I didn't like make appointment with them, ask them to ask questions. Where got such thing? Cannot happen. And it just arrives. So this is what nature is, Dhamma is. When nature's condition is set, it will evolve. And the way it evolves is very beautiful. There's an echo and flow. Everything will go the Dhamma way. Do not resist. That's why do not become unhappy. Do not try to fight back. Do not try to be too eager to share and promote, forget about it. Let it happen naturally. I realize the natural way is the best way. When people come and look for all this, it's the best. Otherwise, you get into trouble. You are too eager to share, then you end up some not having the understanding and tactfulness. You go and argue with people. Luckily, I already warned you all with the precaution. Please don't quote me. No right, no wrong. If they want to learn, ask them to listen on their own. And ask them to come and attend the session and the classes. This is to avoid unnecessary misunderstanding, conflict, argument, and honesty. We are here to share for the good of the many, to benefit humanity and mankind. So these are more important.
I have received your transcript this afternoon.
Yes.
And I did reply, but I'm not sure whether there's any of you received or not. I am able to convert into the ebooks and put it on our website.
But
Would it be possible perhaps maybe Sister Sui or Brother Tim can come up with the cover design, is it?
Okay.
That's right. After that then, you know, I'll be able to put it up. Yeah.
That one I think we can put it as transcript from the short video, Dharma transcript. Short video shared. We have the date. Now I have A and B. I know. What I want is the title. Yeah, the title, there are so many topics. So the title is Dharma transcript book. From Brother Teo's Kayamita short video. I think that one will come. So later on, I can add in. So far we have two, and I think they are just nice, short enough, very, very
precise.
And you read that one, you will understand the cultivation. Yeah, these are very difficult to come by, this type of understanding and explanation of what the awareness-based meditation is. Book also don't have on the day, and very few cultivators can even understand or touch it. But for those who are serious searching for this, for the truth, when they read or they listen, if they have the past, they will know. They will know, and they will know how to look for all this type of teaching. It's just like how Jai Krishnamurti teaching appeal to a lot of cultivators who have the understanding. It's the same. When you listen to Jai Krishnamurti, you never like get tired or like, repeating. No, everyone is so pristine and different. It's never repeat. Whatever he explained is all from different approaches. And he come from that understanding, that clarity, that wisdom. That's why the true cultivator, their sharing are different. Well, these are truth. You cannot use ordinary word to describe them. You need to have that realization. Then only you can put them into words, 文字, to point towards that. Then people who has done it, they will understand what that thing is. Then they can follow. Then they can appreciate. But if you have not cultivated or developed some form of prior understanding, it's very difficult. Because it's like very contradictory and very dry. That's why all this need affinity, need past cultivation, and need training, causes and conditions to prepare you to receive all this. If most of you have not followed my sharing over the years, you cannot understand what I share. Very difficult. Unless they have their past. Your suggestion is very good, Jinhao. Sadhu, anything else?
When I look at the YouTube report, you see, I was really surprised. Actually, on the gender side, there are male reader, viewer more than female, you know. 67% are male.
Oh, Sadhu. The one that listens to me, my sharing,
overall for the last 28 days, you see. So they are actually.
Do you know why or not?
Don't know.
I can roughly tell you. Because, pardon me for saying this, if you don't have affinity with the triple gemma, which are reflected in most of the female cultivator. I realize female cultivator, they are so conditioned, very conditioned, except a few. Otherwise, they are very conditioned and they are very like attached to sutra, to the rope, to all those things. They chase after all those things. Whereas the male cultivator is different. They are very skeptical. They look at you, they listen. They are not the gullible type one. And the male one, because they really wants to find the true one, they will be very different. They are very selective. And they listen attentively with understanding one. So those who find it interesting are those serious cultivators. Because most of the sharing, the video or those things, it's not that many. Most of them, I think, is about 100 or just slightly below 100 or 100 something. Then maximum, I think, 200-300. Some like the Four Noble Truths, the Three Turning, hit almost, now should be above 1,000 really. The awareness, difference between awareness and mindfulness and consciousness, now that one, very popular. A lot of people go and listen and realize 2,000 plus already view. So all this, you can see the trend. That's why YouTube have this, what they call like something like big data to show you that who are the listener, even male and female, they also differentiate. But I think most of them.
You continue. Yeah, and a lot of them are actually, I think, in our Kayamita group.
Yeah, not in our Kayamita group.
And you'll be surprised. I mean, apart from Malaysia is the most audience, 67%. Apart from that, the second is like Singapore, and then the third is India. You know, and then there are 28% is actually didn't stated which country. You know, it's outside, is it? So it will be, and I receive a lot of like, you know, the subscriber, is it? There are a lot of more, you know, there are a lot of
The subscriber will be a lot more. Yeah, they like to listen, so they will subscribe, they were watching the thing so that they receive. I start to see climb up already. Now 300 something already.
Seriously, you never know, you know, who you able to reach out, is it?
That's why I really would like to tell all Kayamita to thank Jin Hao for the good suggestion. The short video was a very good feedback. You read out from the feedback from YouTube or saying, the short video are very effective to capture the thing. Yes, most people don't want to spend a lot of time listening to very long type of video. That's why later on when you come out with the feedback on short video, that one help a lot. A lot of people go and listen. Because to spend 12, 20 minutes, they can ask them to listen to 3 hours, 2 hours. They will say bye-bye. They don't even have time to listen. Especially this type of sharing is very dry. But special topic, I realize the special topic, some of them are very profound. They are talking about that nature, that true Maya, and this one they cannot find in other places. On they realize, not even from monks. This type of sharing and teaching, awareness based, especially that town called we say nobody has ever taught sati in such detail and clarity, and including how to realize it. Even quote Ajahn Sumedho, who speak something along that line, where he used awareness, but he cannot describe it in such clarity and detail. So all these people start to understand, and this is a very good start. And hopefully, more and more people come to this understanding and awakening, and that time the consciousness will evolve. More and more people with the right understanding will progress. Then they see the Dhamma. When they see the Dhamma, they start to share. And they, when they share along similar line, you know, the world waiting for what they call herd instinct. They will follow the crowd one. More and more people accept that. Then more and more people will go for that. Oh, I realize it's the herd instinct. They very few know how to select and choose the topic and progress. These are only real cultivators. But once it becomes popular already, and more people understand, and they also develop the understanding, the awakening, and then they write in similar pattern, then all this become popular again. It's like Eckhart Tolle, the power of now, present moment. This book came out and become very popular. But it connect to the Buddhist mindfulness teaching and all those things. So over time, hopefully all this can actually make the consciousness like flourish back again, the Dhamma consciousness. The Dhamma will flourish again. Then the understanding will become different, very different. Then the authentic teaching, the authentic understanding will come back to the world. Then hopefully we can have a few decades of good evolution of consciousness. Then the world can be a better world. Then more and more people can progress. Because now with the technology available, once you have this beautiful authentic teaching, it can spread very fast also. Similarly, the Dhamma also can spread very fast. So we have to be careful. Because if you are not careful, it cut both sides. So the best way is to let it evolve so that people who has affinity will make contact and they will develop the understanding. And they will, through word of mouth, spread all this and develop their own understanding. And they will rejoice. Then they will have gratitude. And they will know how to do their work. When their time comes, they will also move and they will also share. So these are very beautiful. So once again, thank you so much, Virginia, and all the team, including Sian, my daughter, Dale, Brother Teo, and Thomas Siri, and all those who have helped out in one way or another, including those who help out in the transcript and the short video. Especially Sister in video. So let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, anything else?
That's all. Thank you.
That's all. Thank you so much. Then we can end. We are almost 10:45 already. So today's sharing is another very good session. So really, we should rejoice. And you all should listen to the recording again.